great to be here, and particularly good not only to be with you here as the church, but also to be here for Karen's ordination. And I'm very grateful to the South West for being able to share this occasion with the South West regional team. So it's really good. So, ordination. Well, we know that we're all called to be disciples, aren't we? And all empowered by his Holy Spirit to serve Christ. And yet we're aware as well that God calls some to serve through offering leadership. And so we believe today that God has called Karen to serve as a pastor. And today we want to celebrate that call and pray for her and her serving in God's purposes. So we're going to be hearing a little bit from her. She's going to be making some promises, and we're also going to be praying for her as well. So I'm going to invite Karen to come and say a little bit about how she got to this point on her journey.
Oh, I'm more nervous now than when I normally preach. It's quite strange. Most of you have heard me before. So it was interesting. We were just singing that song, The Lion of Judah. And I could sit, stand and tell you my story, which I will do. It won't take too long. But before I start, just to say, I just felt the heaviness and the weight of actually the promises I'm about to make. You know, this isn't... We've all, like Lynn just said, we're all the priesthood of believers. And yet, when the push comes to shove, I feel the weight of, you know, if I was in the Middle East, if I was a pastor in the Middle East, what would I be facing? And I just kind of want to share that with you, that I do feel that weight this morning. So I gave my life to Jesus when I was 12. I'd gone up through school. I think I've shared a bit of this before, gone to church. And when I was 12, I went on a Bucks Baptist weekend and I gave my life to Jesus then. And I went back to church the next week and I said to the pastor, I want to get baptized. And he said, no, you're too young. You need to wait. So I bugged him for a year. And when I was 13, almost to the day, I said, like, I've waited a year. And he said, oh, all right then. And so I got baptized. And I went to an all-girls grammar school, and the Christian Union in that school was quite strong, as it was in that whole area. And the Christian Union really was what kept me going. It was probably more church to me, really, than church was. And I went there every week, and I kind of started kind of pastoring then. I got to a point where teachers would come to me and say, could you just go and sit with that little girl over there? She's struggling a bit. And I can remember sitting in the cloakroom over lunch times, listening to girls and saying, why don't you come to see you, and praying with them. And then one of the staff members ran a scripture union holiday, and I ended up going as a young leader on that. And then when I got to sixth form, I was asked to take over the Christian Union. And by that time, weekly, I was kind of preaching, for want of a better phrase, in the Christian Union meetings that were half an hour. We had about 100 come in the school. It was quite trendy, actually, to be in the Christian Union in one of the grammar schools. And the four grammar schools in the area had about 100 strong in each one. And we'd get together and we'd meet and we'd have early morning prayer meetings. And it was a really exciting time to be involved. And I guess, looking back now, that was when God was first calling me to minister, but I didn't really recognise it. I was just doing what was placed in front of me. So after school finished, I went on an Oak Hall holiday and met Murray. And And then we ended up in churches where women in leadership wasn't recognised. And having grown up in a church where I don't know what the theology or the thinking of the pastor was there, but he was quite a strong character and women weren't up the front. We may have had a female secretary at that time, but there certainly were no female speakers. I was in an all-girls school, so I just got on with it at that point. So I'd never had men involved in that equation. And then I met Murray and we went into churches where women weren't recognised in leadership or preached or anything like that. So I just presumed, and that was what was taught, the theology that was taught, and so I just presumed that was what should happen. But that then hit upon a problem for me, because my personality and the giftings that God had put in me were one thing, and yet I was being told God doesn't let women do those things. So I'm like, Lord, I think you've made a bit of a mistake here. Aren't I supposed to be one of those little wifeys that likes cooking and likes cleaning and likes having lots of children and wants to be in the home all the time? I'm not supposed to be a strong, dynamic kind of leader-y type person, you've got it wrong. And this kind of went on for quite a few years and actually caused a bit of strife for us because we just didn't fit in the church cultural mould, not necessarily the biblical mould. So we went on this journey and we continued through, and it was a number of years before we realised as a couple that actually we needed to be looking further back. We needed to be looking at what God's intention was for the world. At the beginning of time, when he made the garden, he didn't give the jobs and say, Adam, you do this job, Eve, you do this job. He gave them the job and said, you sort it out. And so we suddenly realised, actually, we need to work towards our giftings. And it all started slotting into place. And we went on a big theological journey as well, which I won't go into now because it's a big, long journey. But if anyone's interested, come and speak to me. But it kind of freed us up to be able to work in the giftings that God gave us. And Murray's already been pastoring and been ordained. And so the upshot of this whole long journey is that now both Murray and I believe that women are called to pastor, to speak and to lead if they're gifted to by God just as much as men. But it has been a long journey. So I feel very blessed to have a husband that's secure enough to really explore theology with an open mind and humble enough to change when he believed that change was needed. I'm also thankful that we work as co-partners together. And with God, that he's championed me and other women in my calling. When I was given a prophetic word about being a Deborah by someone who had no idea that my middle name is Deborah, thanks, Mum and Dad, it was Murray that kind of said, yeah, that's right. He confirmed it and he called it out of me and fanned it into flame and encouraged it. And so I'm thankful for that. Life has a way of turning out differently from what we expected, doesn't it? We, as most of you know, we were overseas and we expected to be there. But I'm glad, too, that we have a father that's never surprised. He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. And he knows the changes that are going to take place. And when we ended up not being able to return to Kyrgyzstan, we went away on holiday. And what the biggest thing and the main thing that he said to us that has stuck with us is that he said, the place has changed, but your calling has not. I still want you on the front line. And he's been really true to his word in that. My greatest joy has been and is to see people find wholeness through coming to know Jesus and then growing to become more like him every day. It's a joy that I've had the privilege of seeing in Bucks as I've grown up, in Kyrgyzstan while we've been overseas, in Derby, and now in Cornwall. And I'm thankful for the love and support of family and friends and you guys at Truro as well on this journey. And I'm excited to see what God's bringing forth between St Austell and Truro and Penzance, because I think he's on the move and he's going to do something really exciting. And I know that whatever it is, it is going to be exciting. It's going to bring restoration and it's going to bring wholeness to individuals and to communities. And I know that I want to be part of it. And I see lots of nods and I know you guys want to be part of it. So thank you so much for being here and being part of this journey. For those that have journeyed from my whole life, some of my family are here, and those that have been here with us from Derby and have since moved down to Cornwall as well. And you guys that are on the newer part of the journey with us as a family and me as an individual. I really value that. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen. And just before we move on to the promises, I'm just going to ask Matt to say a little bit about how that you've affirmed Karen's sense of calling here in Truro.
It was at Creation Fest coming up a couple of years ago that I first met Karen, and Murray was there and the children. And we'd had a bit of email and text conversation prior to this point. But then we met in a field and we sat in the sunshine and we started to speak. And as we sat and talked, right, just about an hour or so, within a few moments of the conversation starting, there was an immediate sharing of heart and a sharing of hope about the church and the kingdom of God here in Cornwall. And what we sensed was, Angela and I, as we had this conversation with Murray and Karen, was a level of agreement and connection that has led to a partnership and a friendship with Karen and with Murray, which has grown and continues to grow and develop. And I'm excited about that, you know. So Ange and I personally, and I know that the churches, St Austell and Truro, represented here today, really, really appreciate that connection and that sharing of heart. And Karen, with Murray, became members here at TBC a year or so ago, and you have quickly become very much part of our church family here, and to a degree at St Austell too. And again, we do so appreciate what you sow into this place. I know your heart is in Penzance. I know that's what God has called you to do, but in the meantime, you're sowing into this place and into St Austell, and we're blessed to have what you are doing, what you're giving and sharing to us. So, just a little bit more. Karen has preached and led services regularly here and in St Austell. And what we sense and what we see is someone who has a passion and an enthusiasm for the gospel and an ability and a gifting to communicate that in different contexts and situations. What we see is that she has a deep care and love for people wherever they may be at on their faith journey, and an ability to connect and communicate and care for them. And what we see also is that Karen is not, and Murray, they're not fazed by the messes and the muddles of life. Karen has a faith that is deep and is real, and it's fair to say a faith that in recent times has been shaped and formed in the fire. And she radiates that faith and that love for Christ in a host of different ways. She has a servant heart and a generous spirit. And we've seen this in the way that she's not just served in this church, even though we're some miles away from her home and St Austell too, but in the way that both Karen and Murray have served the church in this region in the most sacrificial and generous of ways. They, you know, I turn up at things and Karen's there serving, you know, because there is a serving of the church in this region and a belief in what God is doing here in this area too. So I want to say on behalf of Truro and St Austell Baptist Churches that we truly affirm this call of God upon your life, and we are looking forward to partnering with you further as this works out both here in Truro, St Austell, but particularly with what God is doing in Penzance. So bless you guys.
Thank you, Matt. It's important because that sense of calling to leadership is really important biblically, but also there's that sense of it being affirmed and recognised in church context as well. These two things need to go together, so it's brilliant to see that, and we've heard something of the larger journey. So Karen, would you like to come up? Now we are going to share some promises together, and you might like to reflect on what these mean for you today, I don't know. So Karen, this is the one just to start on. If we don't get past this one, we won't be going any further. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that you are called by God to a life of ministry and the work of a pastor?
I believe that God has called me.
Will you proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ through word and deed, making disciples and seeking the coming kingdom of God?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I will call others to follow him.
Do you accept the scriptures as revealing the salvation of God in Jesus Christ? Will you live a life of holiness and prayer and open yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I will search the word of God and will be open to the Spirit's leading.
Will you serve and pastor the people of God with gentle nurture and faithful teaching? Will you set before them the whole counsel of God as you proclaim Christ, the living word? Will you be faithful in worship and prayer, and through word and sacrament, will you celebrate the grace of God, seeking to pattern yourself and those you serve after the likeness of Jesus Christ? Will you witness the gospel of Jesus Christ in a needy world and amongst those who do not know his name? Will you seek to be a minister of peace, a sharer of love, and a sign of hope?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I will minister in this way.
Will you make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Will you represent the wider church of Jesus Christ in the places where you serve? And watching over them in humility and patience, will you care for the people of God, serving and not lording it over them? Will you welcome the stranger and build up the body of Christ until we all come to maturity, measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ?
abiding in the love of God and relying on his grace, I will.
Will you pray for the coming kingdom of God? Will you, under God, build up the body of Christ, seek peace, work for justice, minister forgiveness, and always walk in the way of love?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, and with the help of God's Spirit, I will.
Jesus challenged his disciples to leave self behind, take up a cross, and follow him. Will you follow Christ wherever he leads you, remaining faithful to your Lord until he comes or calls you to heavenly rest?
With the Lord's help, I will.
May the God of grace keep you steadfast in the vows you have made, living and serving in the power of the Holy Spirit as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, as members of the Baptist Union, we have a declaration of principle, which is the basis of our life together. And yay, ordination is a time we get to share it. And I'm going to read it out because you wouldn't believe how many Baptists have no clue what unites us together. So here you go. This is the basis of our union. That our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice, as revealed in Holy Scriptures, and that each church has liberty under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to interpret and administer his laws. Good start, number one. Number two, that Christian baptism is the immersion in water into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of those who have professed repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That's great, but there's one more, number three, and this is the one you particularly need to listen to. Three, that it is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to take part in the evangelization of the world. Big vision. We love it. So, Karen, are you in wholehearted agreement with this statement?
I am.
There was a right answer to that. Good. Bless you. So we're now going to pray together, and I'm delighted that Chris is here to represent the Southwest Baptist Association and to lead this time of prayer. So we're going to invite Karen and the family to come up. Yes, if you want to come up, and then anyone else who wants to come and pray, but I will hand over.
Just before Chris prays, we want to gather round as church family. We want to gather round. Karen and Murray, come on up. Imi, come on down. Jed. Now, church family, I want to invite you to come down and pray. You know, we do this, it's always a bit of a bun fight when we do this. Come on down. Guys, if you'd like to just come and pray. Children, we'd love to have some children down here praying with us. Can we have some littlies down? Come on, guys, let's gather around. Oh, well done. Come on.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, will you send your Holy Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit on your servant Karen this morning. As she stands here and offers herself in service to you, will you anoint her afresh? Fill her, we pray, for this ministry that you have called her to. Give her a spirit of wisdom, we pray, that she will be able to see with your eyes, to see people, to see communities, to see situations as you see them. And give her a spirit of courage and boldness to proclaim your word, to speak your words into lives and situations. May she speak with compassion and grace and with boldness and courage. Holy Spirit, fill her with every gift that she will need to fulfill her ministry. May she bring hope where there is none. May she bring healing where there is pain. May she bring vision where there is darkness. And may she lead your people with compassion and grace. Father God, may she know your presence with her each day, especially on those days when it feels overcast and the heart is heavy and the burden is heavy and the challenges are great. We pray that on those days she will know again that you have called her, that you have equipped her, and that you will not leave her. Father God, make this servant of yours fruitful and make her a blessing, we pray. Bless this family. May they be strengthened in their love for each other and for you through all the joys and challenges that lie ahead of them. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is our rock, the rock on which we stand. Amen.
Have the courage to speak with authority, not just when you're preaching, but when you're speaking with individuals and small groups. So I just pray that courage to speak with authority in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every one of us that are here today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, your continued pouring out of your Spirit on our life. Lord, use her greatly for your kingdom, Lord. We talk about kingdom, Lord, and we want your kingdom here, Lord, and she is one of your many that are trying to bring your kingdom into this place. Lord, just use her greatly for you. Lord, have that filling of the Holy Spirit in her life. Put on the full armor, Lord, of God on her. Give her that power, Lord, that only you can give, because we know we can't do it without your strength. So I just pray this in your glorious name. Amen.
And I want to pray for Penzance, and I want to pray for this place that you've put upon Karen and Murray's heart. You've led them here, and you've given them a purpose in that place for your kingdom. And so I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that there would be a real creative Holy Spirit ability to see pathways to take this forward. I pray, Lord, that we would see transformation in that community because of what you are doing in and through this family. So we just pray right now, I pray peace about the future. But I do pray that they'd have that Holy Spirit ability to just see the pathways ahead of them, which ones to tread, which ones to walk, and which ones not to. So I just pray, I pray peace upon this family. I pray blessing upon this family. I pray prosperity upon this family and all that they turn their hands to. I pray they would see your provision in the days ahead. I pray that they would see your kingdom come in that place. I pray that they would have Holy Spirit encounters with people that would just help them along the way as they seek you for this next stage and step. Pray, Lord, that they would have eyes to see what you are doing in that place. And we just pray right now again, we say, amen to what has been prayed. Holy Spirit, come. Just confirm what you are doing in Karen, in Murray, in this family. And take them on, take them up, take them deeper. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Okay. I've just got to say the official declaration now, so you could have another round of applause then as well. And then I'd just like us to share in a blessing, just to say a blessing, and that will hopefully appear on the screen in a moment. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we declare you, Karen, to be ordained a pastor in the Church of Jesus Christ and commissioned for ministry within the Baptist Union of Great Britain. Seek the kingdom of God. Be faithful and true to your ministry so that your whole life may bear witness to the crucified and risen Lord. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. And a blessing. Let's say this blessing together over Karen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. And may I just say, sorry, I see you're all revving up here. Just particularly when all the children and young people are, just take note. Karen felt God's call on her life in her teens. I felt God's call on my life in my teens. And I just want to challenge you that if anything that's been said and shared today, whatever age you are, is resonating with you and you believe that the Lord is calling you into leadership, then share that with someone and go on the journey and see what the Lord will do. Don't be afraid, but respond to God's call today. I just want to encourage you, respond to God's call. If he's calling, don't waste time. Get on the road with him now. Thank you.